to talk nerdy. Welcome to After Hours on this fine Thursday night. And tonight we're going to talk, we talked about it before in passing. We talked about it, I think it was a multi-topic show. We hit on it a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit. I say a little bit. We're going to talk a lot of it about how to build a website. So we're going to start out pretty much from number one on the checklist and kind of run the gamut through features and everything else that you need to look at, things you need to have, you know, all that good kind of stuff. So, I think it was the tactical pickle in the Patreon chat the other night that was asking about it. And I said, well, we got an after hours on that. Let me go find it. And I went and I looked, and sure enough, it was a split topic. And I thought, okay, well, we'll go over it again. Of course, we've got different people on the panel now than we did back then anyway. And I'll just talk about that a little bit. So welcome. We are live on the YouTubes. We're simulcast over on Gun Channels. Let me grab the link there to gunchannels.com. Take care of that like I normally do. Get over there, check that out. Great place to hang out if you are a Second Amendment supporter, shooter, and heck, just about any other type of hobby under the sun. I think those two are the primary criteria, though. Lots of live chats, lobbies, good gracious, all types of content and stuff over there to consume for sure. And then while I'm throwing out links, also throw out real quickly the website, clovertac.com, because that's going to give you the place where you can follow us. There may be some place out there that you would prefer, such as iHeartRadio or maybe iTunes or GunStreamer, and you can get to us at all of those places through clovertac.com, as well as the swag store, the affiliate links, all that good stuff. Now, one thing too, kind of promote a little bit is the great cap giveaway. We're going to give away three caps, including a CloverTac cap. Come Monday, we'll announce the winners on that. So definitely want to get over there. It's really easy. All you have to do, scroll to the bottom of the main page there on the website, sign up for the little email list there. And we have not started using that list yet. Right now, we're just building it. And even when we do, that's another topic that we discussed on the Patreon chat Monday night. Even when we do, looks like that probably will be used only about once a month in case there's some type of emergency that we need to make contact with everybody. So scroll to the bottom, sign up for that, and that will secure your chance to potentially win a cap. Right? Sweet. So we've got a pretty good panel tonight, which is great. I like it, and that'll help move things along, hopefully nicely, with opinions and suggestions and things like that as we talk about different companies and programs and things that we're accustomed to dealing with, I should say, when we're building a website. So let's run through the panel here real quick and welcome everybody, like Snob in the house. What's up, buddy?
Not much, just hanging out and want to learn some stuff tonight.
I hear you. And we got to 1% with us. What's happening?
Yeah, not much. Just got done with Sarge's chat. We had a fun time over there, and now we're over here.
There you go. The man, the myth, the infamous legend, Patron in Dark. What's up, bud?
Infamous. All right. Thanks for the invite. Appreciate it.
Like El Wapo, you're infamous. The infamous El Wapo. Yeah, right? Yeah, I'm sure we all have, yeah. Budget, in with us. What's happening?
Not much. Same old, same old. I'm glad to be here for this one because there's some things I actually want to ask you about websites. So how fortuitous.
Yeah, well, it works. Works out well. Mike? In the house with us. What's happening, Mike?
Not too much. If I can stop getting my days mixed up, it'd even be better.
Alarms, man. Use those alarms. They're great things.
Yeah, that's one way to do it, I guess.
Notification alarms, always a good thing. Giz, what's happening, man?
Hey, not a whole lot. Thank you for the invite.
You bet. And Ghost, bringing up everybody six, as usual. Ghost, what's happening?
Well, I just want to send a shout out to Guitar Man Pete's wife. I'm going to call her Ukulele Lady. And congratulate her to getting her CCW. And he sent me a picture of her carrying. So I was really happy to see that. So welcome to the dark side.
Right. Now, Andrew Faulkner out there, he said, website equals a bunch of ones and zeros. You know, I had thought about doing that tonight. And I thought, well, you know, that might eat up. It might eat up a little bit of time that we could better use talking about stuff. But, you know, I'm old school from back in the olden days, and it kind of sucks that, that G-Webs is not here because him and I have quite a bit in common when it comes to web programming and stuff like that. But, you know, I thought about doing a screen share and, like, just throwing a quick little website together just with code by hand and kind of showing how that works. Like I said, that's kind of outdated outdated nowadays, of
course. The old HTML code.
Right.
I remember that.
Now it's nowadays it's HTML5, it's PHP, it's, you know, there's all kinds of craziness out there. But, you know, if you have some type of a programming language foundation, then it certainly helps. It's kind of hard to build things from scratch like we used to. I know I used to do it all in Notepad, literally open a Notepad up and type all the code out and pretty much build a website that way. Type all the code out, you would save it, open it up in you know, HTML form, open it up in your browser or whatever, and then, you know, you would have to move a column or change this or change that, so you'd go back to the code and do it. Nowadays, pretty much everything is, if it's not drag and drop, it's pretty darn close that I found. So they make it a lot easier nowadays, but for modifying certain templates and stuff like that, it certainly is nice to have a little bit of expertise in code. So let's go. I'm going to go to screen share real quickly here. I'm going to do an entire screen share. I'm assuming it's sharing. If not, then let me know. Top. And we're just going to go through like a top five website hosts here. I'm going to scroll down and just, you know, whatever, pull one of these up. Because I guess the first thing probably that you want to do is start looking around, because more than likely it's going to cost you money, right, to pull up or to get a host for your website. Now, there's tons and tons out there. Sadly, they're not all created equal. So I would definitely go on some type of a recommendation with it. And also, you know, depending on some of the more advanced things that you might have in mind that you're going to do with your website, also check out the different packages and things that those different hosts have. With that said, explain real quickly what a host is. View your website, I guess, is more like a high-rise complex or maybe an office building. Your host is basically your land, okay, that you're going to put that on. So, you know, you want to try to pick a good one. And I just did a quick search here, obviously, on, you know, best website hosts. Bluehost. Bluehost is definitely one that I could say does a good job. I mean, I could recommend them. I doubt very seriously the one that I use is on this list. But HostGator, I can speak to HostGator being a good one. I'm not familiar with this site ground at all. Not familiar with the A2 hosting. I'm not familiar with iPage. GoDaddy, I think pretty much everybody is aware of GoDaddy. I'm surprised GoDaddy's not number one on the list. But Bluehost has come a long way lately, and GoDaddy has slipped. The MDD hosting here, not familiar with them at all. InMotion, I'm not familiar. Hostinger, another one that I am familiar with, seems to do a pretty good job. And then we're going to stop here at the top 10, which is Fast Comet. I have no experience with that. So yeah, if I was gonna recommend a couple out of this list, it would probably be either Bluehost or GoDaddy. That said, let me get up here and show you the one that I use and have used for about for about 2 decades now, probably. This was actually Virtual Avenue is the name of this company, and they were actually free back when I started using them. So with loyalty and stuff like that over the years, I don't know. It's so far it's worked out. I haven't had a reason yet to switch. But I have had a few minor issues along the way that I don't know that I would have had with one of the larger companies, like, let's say, Bluehost or GoDaddy. But you can see all the different features here. I'm not going to call them out, but, you know, pretty well featured, and that's Virtual Avenue. With that, let me stop the screen share real quick and just kind of run this through the panel. Yeah, that guy's wife said that's who Gun Gals has their email set up through. Yes, it is. And potentially website eventually if somebody wants to tackle that project for Gun Gals. Maybe that may be me one of these days. Who knows? So I want to run this one through the room, though, as we get started. And, you know, the question is going to be a multi-part question. You know, in your mind, I mean, did I pretty much explain what a web host is? Or, you know, do you have anything to add as far as the web host, maybe the importance of that web host? And then also, who do you use and or recommend? Ghost, we'll start on your end.
Yeah, you explained hosting fine to me. Can I throw a suggestion out there? Is obviously the first step before hosting is you got to get a domain name. You can find those all over the place, but I use Network Solutions.
Well, a lot of hosting, like mine, for example, there, and then Bluehost is the same way. You get a free domain name with that.
Yeah, so yeah. I think mine costs like 99 cents or something like that. But yeah,
you can,
I mean,
kind of do it. You can do it all at once, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I use Network Solutions, and I actually got my domain for 99 cents through there. I think GoDaddy, if you use their hosting, you can get it for like 99 cents or something like that. So, but yeah, I use Network Solutions and have had zero problems with them whatsoever.
Okay. Cool. Network Solutions. Got it. Gizzard, what about you? Same question.
As far as what I use, and I'm sure you're probably going to consider it sleeping with the enemy, but I have my site, I got my domain and got it hosted through Google Sites.
Okay. Yeah. There could be some advantages to that, believe it or not.
They pretty much have all the templates you need to set up your sites, and then you can kind of customize them as you like. And there's not much of a limit. I mean, there is a limitation as to how much stuff you can store it on there, but it's pretty astronomical. You're not going to hit it typically.
Right.
So, I mean, it was pretty turnkey. And since I'm already a Google member and all that stuff, it was pretty easy to set up. But I'm sure all the rest of them are probably just as good. I mean, there's considerations. You know, how much freedom do they allow you to customize your site? How can you tie into other things, like, for example, blogs, etc.? A lot of things you got to think about. The cost is going to be pretty much a wash on most of them.
Yeah, it's all pretty much the same. And Kingpin out there, that's what he was asking, was about the cost. He had asked first, do you have to pay for live streaming on YouTube and Facebook? And no, I mean, as far as, you know, the facilitation, like we're doing it here through Google Hangouts, no, I mean, it goes to YouTube, and then you can embed, of course, to other places, be it your website or gun channels or wherever.
But it seems like I paid about $25-$30 a year for the domain name.
Right, and I think he corrected himself. He said, what he was talking about, do I have to pay for a website? Yes, you do. You have monthly, just how, depending on how you set it up. I pay mine yearly and I get a price break for that. But you know, you're looking at, I would say probably $3 to $5 at an absolute minimum. You know, and then depending on the plan and some of the other features you're looking at, potentially $10 a month, you know, and then that can fluctuate depending on how you pay. You get a price break. So, and it also depends on how many domains. We'll get into domains here in a second, but depends on how many domains you have too. That's going to, of course, affect your price on a yearly basis. So yeah, there's definitely some money involved, but it's not insane crazy to kind of give you your own space out there on the internet either. At least I don't think. Mike, bring you in here. Same question. You know, everything been explained so far is hosting, or do you have anything to add to that? And then what host are you using?
I have nothing to add, but I use Bluehost. But I built my website through WordPress.
Gotcha. And yeah, and we'll get into the building part of it here in a little bit. Budget, over to you.
I'm hosting through GoDaddy and use WordPress to build my website.
Gotcha. Patriot, do you have anything up as far as a website?
Oh, man. You guys, when you mentioned the cost, I started my website 2010.
Oh, okay.
I was already blind, and I actually had a gentleman go about doing everything, but I was paying $250 every 6 months for my
wow.
website, and I had, I had 20, under 20 pages. You know, different pages, because it was a training, you know, and I had, you know,
right.
classroom and virtual stuff, whatever, but it was insane. And, you know, basically, you know, I'm not going to mention who they are. Nobody will search them out for sure. But yeah, that's when you guys mentioned that, I believe in the first chat about websites, I almost passed out. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm here.
Gotcha. Now, Kingpin out there, he says a website is more for business. Is a website more for business than personal use? He doesn't have anything to promote or sell. So a website really isn't necessarily for someone like that. I had a website back in like 97 or 98 even. And it was like a personal website. I mean, I could put, you know, my own pictures. This was before social media and all that stuff, of course. So you could put pictures up there and other things, and you know, your family could, you know, or was able to view them and what have you, right? So you know, there's definitely all kinds of things you can use it for. The other thing is, when you start talking about, you know, the nominal cost, honestly, to be able to do it nowadays and no more than it really takes, there's ways that you, it's not necessarily, I guess, a business use, but I mean, you could very easily use it for business purposes. And people teach this. There's a lot of ads, and I'm sure you guys out there have seen this. There's a lot of ads on YouTube where it's like the marketing stuff, right? And they come on before a YouTube video. I don't know if anybody else has seen those, but seems like I'm inundated with them whenever I watch YouTube videos. And that's basically all they're telling you to do is go start a website, and then you know, you can sign up with places and put products on that website, and they drop ship them and stuff. So you could set up a website to where, you know, you do something like that, little items that you like or collect or deal with or whatever. You could put them on that website, and then, you know, you can push that out every now and then. I mean, you could go as you could get as crazy with it as you wanted, but you would have something there that could potentially generate revenue, right? And you never know. I mean, it could blow up and be some huge thing that could make you, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a month, depending on what things you were into and trying to sell, especially if you're talking about getting off into some weird niches with home decor or collectibles or something like that. So, you know, yeah, not necessarily for a business sense, but maybe for like a, you know, a little home-based business, a revenue generator on the side type thing. I think it could work out well. Rich, what about you on the website? Do you have anything going?
Not currently, but in the past I've used, when I had Frontier Service, the package we had a web hosting service built into it. We had, we even came with a FTP server with 25 gigs of storage on that. That came with it. So I would use that, and I built websites for gaming guilds or clans I belong to, and I also had a website that I had built for the Robotech tabletop role-playing game.
Okay, sweet. Yeah. Yep. And some of your your ISPs do offer that. When the one I was talking about back in the late 90s, yeah, back then it wasn't near that much space. I mean, it was, I think it was maybe 5 meg or something. Like, seriously. Of course, you're talking dial-up days, but I think it was like 5 meg of space or something that we had. But I mean, it was enough to put some pictures up, with the quality of pictures you could do at the time anyway, to put some pictures up and have a little chat box and some different things. So, yeah, it's something definitely to check into with your ISP, possibly. That's a great point.
You know, with ours was because how long we were customer with them too, but we also got the domain included in that as well.
Ah, okay. Very nice. Very nice. Good intel. Snob, what about you?
Well, I'm mainly here to learn some. I went ahead and bought my domain a few months back just so I had that, and I think I gave like $20 for it. And I played around with like the Wix thing, but I know nothing about it. I'm just playing with it, so I'm just learning.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what we're going to get into here shortly. But I want to jump now into, because Ghost brought it up first there, I want to jump now into the domain, so a pretty good segue on that. And the best way, if we talk about a hosting service and we're viewing a hosting service as the land, you went out and you bought your piece of property, your land. Your domain is essentially the address of said land. That's kind of the way I view it. And you can have, like here, I mean, I live in a rural area. So depending on who you're dealing with when you're getting stuff shipped, my address is not always the same. If I'm dealing with taxes and stuff like that, it's a different address than if I'm dealing with UPS, is a different address than if I'm dealing with the Postal Service, is a different address than I'm dealing with 911. And your domain names work sort of the same way. You can have multiple domains that go to the same address. So that's another tactic that you can use. Especially if you're working on, like we were talking about with Kingpin's question out there, especially if you're working on some type of a marketing deal or something like that, you can get multiple variations. Like, let's say I wanted clovertech.com, clovertech.net, clovertech.tv, you know, or I even want to switch that up and I wanted to go tacticalleprechaun.com or something like that. Right. Then I could have all of those, and then I could actually point all of those to the same site. So when the crawlers are going on out there, you just got multiple identifiers, multiple ways out there that sort of bring you into that same place. Now, as far as the facilitation and how it works, we already touched on that a little bit, in that normally whoever you are hosting with, they have an option to add whatever, pretty much as many domains as you want to buy. And the cost on those varies a lot of times depending on the name of the domain, whatever's in question. I know when I go to renew mine every year, of course, I work on other clients' websites and stuff too that are on my servers. But I know when I go to renew those, they're never the same. It seems like they're always different. Some are considerably more expensive. Some are $9 a year. Some are $24-25 a year, right? So, you know, bank on that. I would say if you're talking about budgeting things, and like I said, some of them allow that one included into your hosting package, right? So just be mindful of that. If you have multiples, you know, how much that's going to add up in the course of a year. That way, if you're budgeting everything for your website, you're taking that into consideration. with that said, let's talk about domains a little bit. If anybody's got anything to add to that explanation, and we've already talked about it, and I know several of you have, but you know, if you own multiple domains, if you do things with multiple domains, that sort of thing. Snob, you said you had the one right now, and that was it.
Yeah, I just bought it. I haven't really done anything with it other than that.
Okay, gotcha. Rich, what about you? Did you do? Did you have multiples when you were doing that, or was it just the one?
Yeah, I had two domains. I had the one for that I would use, that I would just rebuild it into different websites for whichever game I was playing at the time. And then the other one was just static, where it was just for that Robotech RPG.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay. Sweet. Patriot, what about you?
I just had one. And with this domain, is this, you say buy it, is it more like you're just leasing or renting it?
It belongs to you unless you let it expire. So that's okay, where we should back up. And that's a good question. We should back up. For those that don't know, because I forget, sometimes we have people that, you know, we're out here that were very young, if they were even born, right? You know, around 2000 and so in years like that. So all they know is the internet. But when it comes to, lost my train of thought there a little bit. When it comes to domain names, you go out once you buy them, you register them is what you do, right? Mm-hmm. You register them with ICANN, which is the organization that registers and handles all of that. Anyway, you register that domain. So as long as you keep up, the registration on those domains, you own that domain, right? Now, where this gets tricky is if you have somebody do something for you. I've seen this being in the industry and in the business. I've seen this over and over and over and over. I've seen people go to somebody, they build them a website, and then they not be happy with the service, or they want to move somewhere else to another hosting company or another designer or whatever. And basically those people hold their domain hostage, and they have to pay thousands of dollars or whatever to get it back. Well, there's a reason this happened back with what they call the .com boom. That's what happened. People seen that you could do that. So they run out and they would register Coca-Cola.com, Pepsi.com, Walmart.com, Target.com, Lowe's.com. You know what I mean? And then as these companies were coming online, they went on and they were like, well, crap, that Lowe's.com's taken, right? Well, Lowe's didn't care if they have to spend $500,000 for a domain name, or $10,000, or $50,000, or whatever, right? And even smaller companies, they wouldn't care if they had to spend $2,000 or $3,000 or something like that. So you're talking about people that went out and they registered these domains that was costing them maybe $20 a year at max. And you know, they sat on them for maybe a year or two, and then these companies come online or whatever, and basically, if you wanted them, then you had to pay them, and they would transfer ownership, basically, transfer that registration ownership over to whoever paid for them. And I had to do this recently with a company, by the way. They quit using me for their website and everything. Everything got transferred over to another person. That other person did a really crappy job. He just finally quit doing anything with it altogether. He let the domain lapse. And I had to kind of broker the deal to try to get their domain back. And it cost about $8,000. And this was like a used car lot, right? It cost about $8,000 to get that domain back. So even in today's market, you got to be real careful. If you've got a really good domain name, then you could be sitting on potentially some money if somebody comes along and wants that. So keep that in mind too, that if you register some domains, be real leery about letting those lapse for just $20 a year, because you never know. So does that answer your questions there, Patriot?
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of my issue. I had a guy that was basically controlling, you know, the whole, whole gambit. And yeah. So I didn't really have a, you know, it was just, this is the X amount of dollars and everything was contained in that.
Right.
Which was my, it was my problem. Cause obviously I, at that time I couldn't see and do it myself. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, so it was kind of, yeah. And I do with my clients, I have my domains, of course, that belong to me. But you know, with clients, the domain name has nothing to do with the hosting service. Right. Mm-hmm. So with my clients, all of them, they own their domain. I go in and I purchase it. But then when I register that, right, or purchase the registration, I guess you could put it, I put their information as the owner, because that doesn't have to match the host. You know, that's irrelevant. What you do is you, and we can get into that more in a minute if anybody's got questions about it. But, you know, if you go out and you buy an additional domain, if you do it while you're setting up the hosting, like Ghost was talking about earlier, then it's automatically tied to your host. Obviously that domain is, but then if you go out and purchase extras, then you've got what you call pointers, where you point that domain to a host, right? So for these clients, yeah, I fill out their information that's registered to them. They own it. It's just pointed to me. So at any time, they could actually go in and point that wherever they wanted, because they're the owner. They have access to it. So, yeah, something. I'm glad you brought that up, because definitely want to be mindful of that. Budget, what about you with domains and how many you have and that sort of thing?
Just have the one, budgetgunsandgear.com.
All right. Good deal. Nothing else to add on the explanation there?
Nope. You guys have
nailed
pretty much summed it up.
All right. Mike, what about you?
Only thing I got is just www.m-wtactical.com. That's the only one I have.
Okay. Got you. Now, something I'm glad you mentioned that with the -tactical.com is when you're going through, and if you go through and you go to register domain, this is going to be a duh moment, and it's going to be a no brainer. You know, special characters, spaces, stuff like that. It's not going to allow you to do that. So when you're thinking of a domain name that you might like to get, you know, make sure if there's a question mark or exclamation point or tilde or anything, dollar sign or anything weird like that, that, you know, you're going to have to omit that or do something like that. Extra dots in there and things like that can be problematic as well. So try to simplify that as much as possible. Gizzard, what about you?
I just got the one.
Yep, and that's MrChicken.com. That what? Nope.
GizzardGary.com.
Yeah.
I figured it'd be pretty easy to point people to. Just remember the name.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Ghost, what about you, bud?
Well, for the YouTube and all that stuff, I've got two. I've got others for other stuff, but. I've got two, obviously, ghosttactical.us, because ghosttactical.com was already taken, but I also have ghosttacticalproductions.com, and that points to either website. So you can get to the same website from either one. So I've got both of those.
Okay. Yeah. So you're practicing the multi-domain mm-hmm. approach.
Right. I picked the other one up a couple of months ago. So, you know, most of my stuff is through, I've always kind of promoted ghosttactical.us. When I finally picked up Ghost Tactical Productions, instead of just kind of rebranding everything, I just kind of pointed that one to it. And I have it on business cards and stuff like that. But, you know, for the general public, I just tell them to go to .us. But one of the things I was going to say, if you don't mind, you're talking about kind of like the real estate type situation where the land and the address and all that, you know, in today's society, you can basically look at it as also is this is your storefront. If you look at the internet as a big shopping center, your domain and your website is your store. It is your Target. It is your Walmart. And you can put whatever products you want in there. And for the social media side, it's very, very good because most of us are on so many different platforms. And sometimes it's easier instead of saying, well, make sure you go check me out here, 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 and here. It's go check out my website and you can find all my links on this one page. So that's a great thing about it.
Right. Now, Einstein out there is talking about, you know, things you can do with the website. He said, slapping your private website address on your resume. He said, to your well bill about me, to the about me page is a winning move. So, yeah, I mean, it can be used for a bunch of different things. I mean, imagine, I mean, you can only, like a job application, you can only put so much on there, right? But, I mean, if you've got certifications, if you've got experience, you know, that, you know, is above and beyond maybe what you can elaborate on there, then that's something that you can always throw out there, and then that prospective employer or whatever it is, so can go look at that if they so choose.
Well, and you also remember, you and I both found this out very quickly. You're not going to get to go to SHOT Show unless you have your own website, period.
Yeah. That's an absolute definite if you're out there and you're doing content and you're looking about, not as media anyway, I don't think, not unless you get a guest invite.
Right. If you're trying to get a media pass, you better have your own website.
Yeah. That's something we definitely ran into last year, for sure.
I've got a quick question on all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
And I know you were kind of covering it, but like, say on mine, whenever I bought it, the gunstomp.com was not available, but it's not owned by anyone. When you Google it, it just says it's parked there. Not that I'm going to spend the money and try to buy it, but how do you go about that if you was to want to?
What you have to do, that's a good question. Let's do that. Let's do it. In fact, let's do a screen share. Let me do a screen share since we're kind of transitioning topics now anyway. So let's do a screen share and I'll just do this. So, what you want to do is you want to do a who is, what they call the who is search, right? And I typically like to use ICANN because, like I said, ICANN is the one that controls all of that. So we go here to ICANN. And then, for example, you're talking about, which one was you talking about you wanted to do?
The gunsnob.com was, it just says, it just takes you to a GoDaddy that it's parked there.
Yeah. So there's the gun. That means they bought it to resell it, probably. Or they bought it and they have no plans. You know, they just never used it. So yeah, the gunsnob.com. Please confirm I'm not a robot. Hopefully this works since I'm screen sharing. So I just did an ICANN who is search here. You notice that, and you bring it down and it'll show who everything's registered to, right? So this is registered to somebody out of Arizona, probably G-Webs. G-Webs probably stole your name there, Snob. Uh-huh. You might want to call him up. But now, so yeah, someplace out of domains by proxy is who it is. Out of Arizona is who that's registered to. So there's phone number, email contact, blah, 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 right? So you would basically contact them and then try to cut a deal with them. Now, assuming that you use this and this does not work, let me do a search here real quick. Because there are domain name brokers here.
Well, I've seen that.
And Cedo here, just going to Cedo here, but Cedo is the one I used. I had to use these people to get the one for the car lot I was talking about. Had to use these people. And what they do, they charge a fee and stuff too, but they broker things. So, yeah, see the gunsnob.com, though, it is not for sale. So they don't have it listed, at least with any brokerage firms, right? So the only thing you can do is try to contact them directly through that ICANN information at this point. Now, if they're actually reselling them, then they're going to be listed in a domain brokering place like Cedo here. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, and I was just curious. You know, like I said, I ain't that worried about it.
Yeah, and you're gonna pay for it.
Yeah. Not that worried about it because I have .NET, so I'll stick with that.
Because there's other charges incurred too when you talk about buying a what's Heat Shield out there saying? He said, don't say anything. Oh, he just wanted to say hi. oh, he hasn't been on since he watched Paint Dry. Hey, what's up? What's up, Heat Shield? Yeah, what was I saying? Oh, the added cost. When you buy a domain like that through a broker, or, you know, you assume one from somebody else that has it registered, depending on their host, depending on your host, depending on other things, there could be extra fees involved. For example, and I'll use this car lot again as an example because it was a fairly extreme situation, I'll admit. But in order to move that over, my host, and I don't know why, my host required 5 years, a 5 year registration to move it over. They wouldn't move it over just for a year. And I've got a feeling that it probably had been bought and sold a bunch or something in a short period of time. And maybe that was why. Maybe that's what come into play. I'm not real sure how they come across a lot of their requirements, you know, a host that, you know, we need you to make this much of a commitment, but they wanted a 5 year upfront registration on it, which wasn't a problem. I mean, the car dealership I was working with has been around for years, so they didn't have a problem with that. But just be aware that if you do go out and you try to get one like that or through a broker, that the maybe more than just the cost of the domain, you could have other fees and stuff like that involved too. So yeah, let's screenshot now. Now that we've talked about, as Ghost has said, this is our store basically. So we found our piece of property. We have essentially got an address for said property. So now we're ready to look at the building up and everything, right? So there's a bunch of ways that we can do that. Let me go to screen share here. I use WordPress, and a lot of people do use WordPress. Now, within your hosting service, you will have an option. Usually with most hosting services, if mine does it, then every one of them out there is going to offer this, I'm sure. Usually they've got a little thing to click and it will install. It will basically install WordPress, right? When it installs WordPress, it's going to be just your basic everyday theme is all it's going to be. And then it's up to you to customize that and do other things. So I've just logged into my admin panel here, right, on WordPress. And you can see I've got all kinds of things here. But, for example, scroll down. If you go, I go to appearance, and then I've got themes. And then there's all types of themes you can search for, install, you know, whatever you want to do. So there's several already here. And then, like I said, you've got the option to upload them, to search for them on WordPress.org, so forth, so on. Once you get your theme installed, then it's just a matter of creating your pages and all of that good stuff. So one of the things with WordPress here, just kind of go through the way I do it, and then we'll kind of let everybody else talk about their options. But we'll go here to this. It's got my site, and since I'm logged in, it'll give me the option here to customize. And then I know I'm screen sharing, plus I'm trying to live stream and do other stuff, so it's going to be slow. But yeah, it's going to give me all kinds of options over here to change colors, and there's colors there. And then if it'll go back or whatever it'll do. Yeah, that was great. It's going to be all laggy. But you can see how there's the options to change out where the menus are at. And this has to do with the theme, right? What you're actually seeing here is the homepage. So the theme just has to do with the layout of the way everything is laid out. So if we go back to our dashboard where we was, once you get that theme installed and you get the theme laid out the way you want, then you can start adding pages and or posts. So we'll go here and I'll go through the process here just for a second of adding a page. But yeah, let's say I didn't have any pages, right? Well, I would add a new page here. And again, it's slow, so forgive me. But and we're just going to title this like sample page or something, right? So you'll want it to, in WordPress, make sure you've got visuals and you've got text. Now, for those like me that know code and stuff, you could utilize this text. But most people are going to want to use this visual tab. And with that, I'm able to like center the stuff. I can add media. So let's go in here. And I'm just going to pull a picture I've already got and insert into the page. So there's that. And then, so I want to center that picture and I want to go here and say, these are the patches maybe, so forth. We can center that text as well if we want to. Oops, we can make it bold, italicize it even, so forth and so on, right? So we're building our page out. So I'm going to go here and I want to publish this. And you'll see when I pull it up that the theme stayed the same, but then it added what I've built here into a page for that theme, right? So you'll notice the menus will be at the top like they were before. See all up here. Everything at the bottom was here, but then what I built shows up as the page here. So, you know, fairly simple. It's not that complicated. And there's all sorts of plugins and things. WordPress is probably the most popular way to build stuff right now today. So there's all types of plugins and things like that to help you along the way. You'll notice I've got bunches of them over here from my store. This is the WooCommerce plugin. That's what I use for my store. And you can see that hopefully nobody that's bought anything cares from about me showing potentially their stuff. Oh, it doesn't show their email, so that's good. But you'll see the store. It keeps track of all the sales, the orders for the store. And then you can also do back over here kind of thing for obviously coupon codes. The products for the store right here. You know, you're able to set those up. And all of that sets up in a very similar way to what I just showed you with the pages. So that's basically how you get started building, you know, building an office building, right? That office space. So Ghost, I'll start on your end this time with the actual building of the website.
Yeah, I use WordPress as well. And I think that the great thing about WordPress is you don't have to be technologically inclined. It's basically you can upload photos or graphics, whatever you want. And then it's really just kind of a drag and drop. And the good thing about it is a lot of them, and I can't speak for all of them, but a lot of the web hosting services will let you start out with a template and you pick a template that you want. Then you go into WordPress and you can change it how you want it to. So if you pick a template, it kind of gives you the layout already. And so that will help someone who's never done a web page before also.
Right. Now, Kingpin out there, thanks for the questions, Kingpin, by the way. Appreciate it because those are good ones that we need to cover. He says, why are there .coms, nets, orgs, and so on? Are there basically area codes? Just too much volume on the net now. Yeah, it's too... It basically, I mean, just kind of like you can have, what am I thinking? Yeah, it's kind of like area codes, I guess, or maybe area codes, not necessarily area codes, but maybe prefixes. But it works kind of like a telephone number in a sense that you can kind of have the same name, but it's a different telephone number, right?
Yeah, I think I would liken it to more like the international code, like how, and the each one originally was supposed to be for a different use. Like a .com would have been for anything. A .net was for a network use, and a .org would be like an organization.
Sure.
Like, say, you would have SalvationArmy.org because that was an organization.
Right. And even nowadays, you've got EDU. .net used to be the thing, and then now it seems like everything is, for as far as education, as far as college and stuff, is .edu, right?
Right.
There's bunches and bunches of multiple. So there's a couple of reasons. One is it gets flexibility for names, sure. But the second is to sort of, if they're being used correctly anyway, is to sort of designate, you know, kind of what category or genre of a company, organization, business, whatever that particular website falls into.
Yeah, see, for like mine is a .us, and I had to, when I registered that domain, one of the things that I had to go through is I had to give a U.S. address as my company's address, or I wouldn't be able to use the .us.
Yep. Yeah, .info is another one, .gov, obviously. Government, you know, you got to be able to prove your government entity. I think I went through, I've got a .org set up, and I think I had to go through some type of a process to do that for that .org. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it may have just been an agreement that it was a nonprofit organization or something like that. But may have been something that simple. I don't remember. Mike is, or Giz. I don't want to skip Giz. Giz, what about building up your site? What do you use for that?
Well, Google Sites has most of the tools built right in. You don't have to use any kind of external editor. You can, but it's all built right in. Basically, it's they have the templates, and then you just type the data in right on the template. You don't. It's kind of website for dummies in that respect. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do some customization if you, like you say, if you know what you're doing, and you can move stuff around and stuff like that. But I don't use any kind of external editor or anything special on it.
Right. Now, is there any drag and drop functionality to that at all?
No.
Okay. King been out there has said, did I build all of my own sites or did I hire someone? All of the ones that I host I built them all. So, and I think with the exception of Patriot here, everybody's done their own, right?
Yes.
I did one back in the early 90s, but
okay, gotcha.
You know, the pictures and the, you know, the car stuff and whatever, but
right, yeah, gotcha. Okay, yeah, it's don't be intimidated by it. I understand how it can be intimidating, but you know, live at clovertech.com, you can get me, anybody else on the panel that does it, I'm sure they're more than willing to help walk you through or help you out. It's not, in this day and age, it's not as difficult as what it used to be. Now, don't get me wrong, if you want to do something like NiceTrack to do it over on guntube.org, that's a whole different animal.
Yeah.
But, you know, just to get a site up with your information and maybe embed some videos or, you know, put some merch or some swag on there and some different links or something, is not a big ordeal. It's really not.
No. I like in building your own personal website, kind of like putting a scrapbook together. If you like doing that kind of stuff, putting together a simple website using something like WordPress would be something you might actually enjoy doing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. When I made my website, I did all the pages. I mean, I just used Word and, you know, did it all up and, you know, told them exactly what I wanted. And that was kind of the, you know, I worked it all out and decided what I wanted, you know, what pages to link. I mean, I've got, it was kind of a spider web just because I was, you know, writing out all the links, mm-hmm. and where they were going and stuff like that. But
right. Yeah. Now, Mike, you said you use WordPress. Any methods, tips, anything we've missed on WordPress so far? Are you there?
Who are you talking to, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear you because it went out and came back in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just saying we've hit on WordPress pretty heavy, but you use WordPress, so Anything we haven't covered with WordPress that you're doing or you would give people a tip on or advise them on?
The only thing I can tell you is when I built my website, www.m-wtactical.com, I had no prior experience. I had Wix before. I left Wix because they was charging too much. So I went to WordPress for a cheaper reason. And I just went on YouTube and pulled up how to build a website and just followed it step by step. And then once I figured it out, I went back and added little things and what I wanted to put up in there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah, it really is that simple. Budget. Are you using WordPress or what are you using? I know you also said you had questions earlier, so. Uh-oh. Did we lose
you? You talking to me?
There he is. Yeah.
Sorry. I had to step out. What was the question?
Are you using WordPress?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anything we've missed as far as WordPress or anything that comes to mind that somebody need to look out for, or maybe this is a little easier to do if you do it this way?
Not exactly. I know there's something I'm having trouble with, and that's getting AdSense to work with it. Getting it to put ads and whatnot and actually show them.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm having huge trouble with that.
Yeah, that's potentially a long and messy
show of its own, I imagine.
Yeah. That also gets into being able to look at some stuff that probably doesn't need to be broadcast live. I don't utilize AdSense. And I see why you would, and certainly like we talked about earlier with Kingpin and a personal site and some stuff like that, you certainly could do that. With mine, I try to utilize affiliates and companies I have relationships with and whatever, instead of letting just pretty much, you know, anybody that is on AdSense kind of mess with it and rotate ads through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of a different scenario. But, yeah, that's definitely something we can get together on. And
okay.
I try to figure out what's going on. I don't know what plugins you're utilizing on WordPress. There's several things that go into that. So
I have one other thing too, yep. And it's driving me crazy over the last several days. There's a couple particular IP addresses. One of them's from South Korea that keep leaving spam comments, and I keep trying to copy the IP address and paste it into my the blacklist in the discussion settings, and it just keeps coming. They keep popping up. I keep having to moderate these comments. I don't know, you know, if that's the way you're supposed to try to block them with WordPress or not.
So you're not using a plugin for that. You're using the built-in stuff. Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
I use a plugin. I would have to go back, pull it up to see, but, comments, right. I got comments disabled, but I did that prior to just disabling my comments. But that's a good point. Depending on how your site's set up and what you allow, there may be things where you're blog posting and, you know, you would want those comments there. So, yeah, I can see where we're.
Yeah, I want people to comment, just not the kind of stuff this guy's leaving. And he's also leaving links, which I suspect it's a hacking attempt. And I just, of course, you know, I trash everything that this IP address sends, but it's becoming somewhat tiresome.
Yeah, they're just spamming it out. So yeah, I'll look up that third party plugin, and that should
thank you very much
deal with that. Yeah. So Patriot, I mean, probably not a lot.
I actually have a question.
But go ahead. Yeah.
The email section. I had like squirrel or drunken squirrel. I don't know what it
was. Squirrel mail, probably. Yeah.
Sure. I guess that might date it too as well.
That sounds funny, but yeah, that's what I use. So yeah.
Okay. And with that ties in, is that a separate service? Is it that as well?
With the email? Yeah. Yeah, we're actually gonna cover that. We'll cover that here in just a second.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely want to touch on how email ties into the domain and the website and all of that. Rich, I know, well, I don't know if you got any input on the WordPress thing or not, But
not use WordPress. When I was doing my websites, I was actually using Macromedia Dreamweaver.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That was back in the day.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, and you can do that. Adobe PageMaker. You know, if you want to go that route, that's a lot more complicated route now than you really have to go. Yeah. So,
but it was great for teaching yourself HTML though, because you could do the drag and drop thing and then go up to the code page and see exactly how the program put the drag and drop thing into that HTML code.
Right. Now,
and it was easy if you knew the HTML code to modify something that you didn't quite like in that drag and drop as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And there's, like I said, there's several programs out there that you can build your website and then just upload it, you know, to the server basically. And it's done. There's, you can do that, but with, I think with the technology and stuff now, I think they made it a whole lot easier with things like, WordPress and Wix and what have you. Now Snob, we're going to hit on, if you haven't messed with WordPress much, we'll hit on Wix a little bit. You said you played with it, and Wix is, you know, a drag and drop type thing. It's a little bit limited, I think, to what all you can do as far as adding plugins and different things. But,
well, see, that was one of my questions. I've just played with it and haven't really, like I said, I haven't even paid for the service to do anything. I just played with it and thought, yeah, I will, but I haven't taken the time to finish it. So that's what I was going to ask. Should I just ditch the Wix and go to WordPress probably?
I would suggest doing it. I mean, unless you're wanting to put up something really, really basic, I would, because I don't like the functionality control. It seems like it's so basic with the drag and drop. And I need to back up. There are, you know, like I said, there's a ton of plugins and stuff for WordPress. And there are some drag and drop stuff as far as plugins that you can use with WordPress. I don't use them, but I have seen people use them. But yeah, that's my take. Now, Mike, I'll bring Mike in on Wix here. He said he switched from Wix. So what was there something that you didn't like about Wix, Mike? Was it not doing something you wanted to do, or was there a reason behind that you want to share?
Yeah, every time I wanted to do something or add to the website, I forgot, it's like little widgets you had to purchase. But those little widgets that you purchase, it was a monthly fee added to it. So before you know it, you're paying like $300 a month for your website.
Right.
And that was the main reason why I left Wix.
Yeah. Yeah. The functionality, like I said, with WordPress and then just the sheer volume of plugins and stuff available for that are, especially that are free. It's almost a no brainer. Now moving on into a couple of things where I want to take it from here. It's kind of talking about the extras when we're talking about a website. And we hit on that at the start. We kind of hit on that when we were talking about the hosting service and what type of extras they offer. Now, a couple of things. I'm gonna run through these fairly quickly, and then we'll take it through the panel and talk about the extras that the folks on the panel used or have used, and then maybe ones I've missed and recommend. But Kingpin out there brings up a good one. Patriot brought up a good one, so we'll hit on Patriots first. One of the things when you get your hosting service, and you have your domain in place, and you don't even have to have a website built in order to start utilizing this, but at that point, you can set up mailboxes with your domain. So if your domain is, let's say, afterhours.com, you can do live at afterhours.com. You can do Clover at afterhours.com. You could do Patriot at afterhours, whatever, right? Help and support at afterhours, support at afterhours. And you can do a lot of things with those. You can set them up as individual mailboxes, or you can take those, and this is one thing I do, is you can compartmentalize them. Because one thing I do with CloverTac is I have an email address set up that I use when I registered for, let's say, PayPal. One that I set up when I registered for, let's say, Patreon. One that I set up when I do YouTube, right? And these are all different. But then they forward, they're not their own mailbox, they're just forwards. And they all forward into, you know, my you know, personal, whatever, CloverTac address, right? So you've got these multiple addresses out there. So it serves a few purposes. First of all, it's getting multiple identifiers out there on the net. When the net's crawling, it sees all of these multiple email addresses. And it makes to the crawlers that pull the stuff for search engines, it kind of makes them look bigger, makes you look bigger than you actually are. But then to potential clients, or if we're talking about from an influencer creative standpoint, sponsors or whatever, right, then it can make you look a little bigger than you are too. And a lot of them tend to like that, whether you are bigger or not. They like that look and that feel, like, you know, you're emailing a support department, or you're emailing a help department, or you know what I'm saying, breaking it up like that. So yeah, that's typically included. The amount of emails or forwards, most hosting services nowadays are going to be pretty much unlimited on that. I know mine is, but pay attention to that. They may be limits. And then if you're talking about sending out a newsletter, or you're talking about using a whole bunch of, you know, sending out a whole bunch of emails, you know, every day, or, you know, at once or something like that, pay attention to the limits. And, you know, depending on how many you're sending out, you may need to use a service, and we can talk about these on another show. I don't want to muddy the water with the website show here, but use a newsletter service, something like Constant Contact or MailChimp or something like that. On the topic that Kingpin brought up, it's another feature that we definitely need to hit on. And then there's one more, and then we'll run it through the panel talking about features. And the one Kingpin brought up had to do with security. If you were running, selling merchandise, that sort of stuff. Yes, you definitely need a security certificate, SSL, on your site with a security certificate if you're doing stuff like that. With the way my store is set up, it is the swag store. Now, the shirt store goes to Spreadshirt, so they deal all, it goes to my page over there, and it deals with all that. But with the swag store, that's done through the WooCommerce plugin, which I showed you guys earlier through the screenshot. And the security certificate, the SSL, came with the hosting service. So, you know, if that's something you're looking at doing, then you need to make sure that your host, if it doesn't come with the package you're getting, that they can either add it on, or, you know, whether you pay extra for that or bump up to the next package or whatever you have to do, because that is an added layer of security. Now, with mine and WooCommerce, it goes through PayPal. Okay. I don't have a credit card service or anything like that. I could, but I don't. That costs money. I mean, I dealt with that for two decades in business, and I don't make enough doing this to, you know, I don't sell enough stuff, I guess I should say, to warrant having to pay the fees and all of the things I've got to do for an actual credit card processing service. But even at that, even though my swag store just goes to PayPal, I want that in place because I don't want people, I want it to be as secure as possible so that people cannot go in and potentially steal their PayPal information or something like that. Now, Tripod Tactical out there, he says if you're just starting out, he would recommend just using PayPal. Most people have it, goes to PayPal, an actual transaction, no need to pay extra for the SSL. Yeah, I didn't say, you know, pay extra, but, you know, maybe look for it, because eventually, you know, it is something, and I know especially people that are making purchases, even if it goes through PayPal, I know people that have raised concerns because at the top of the screen, they're looking at the little address bar, and it doesn't have the lock, and all of that good stuff on it, and if regardless of where it takes them to buy stuff, then a lot of times they feel uncomfortable. So it's good to have that if you know if you can afford it, and or if it's, you know, included in the package, take it and run with it. Right now, the third thing that I want to mention as far as a feature, and then I'll turn this loose. It's actually required for WordPress, and that's, you have to have a SQL database. That's what's going to keep track of the post on, you know, all of that information that is in your site. as far as the posts and the logins and the users and all of that good stuff, depending on what plugins, of course, you're using with WordPress, that's database is what's going to keep track of all that. Okay. Now, it should go without saying that if you're looking and it says that that particular host is, you know, WordPress compatible, or they offer, you know, the WordPress installation or something like that, then they're going to have that. So, but it may be better not to assume that, because that that SSL or SQL, I should say, I'm getting tongue-tied with all the S acronyms here. The SQL database, they may offer the WordPress thing, but then you got to pay an extra dollar a month or $5 a month or whatever for that SQL database. So make sure that you're looking at the features and you see that that's there. That's the three big ones, I guess, when we're talking about features of a host, a website, a domain. That's the three big ones that come to mind for me. Anyway, as far as extras or features or capabilities, but run this back through and get everybody else's thoughts on those things. Snob, anything come to mind as far as the features with you?
No, I'm just absorbing all this and trying to remember everything you're telling.
Okay,
good enough. I have to go back and watch it in replay because I'm very interested in this subject. So,
well, that's one thing that replay is good for. So is to go back and double check it. 1%. What about you as far as the features you would need to look for, you think are important with a domain or a host rather?
Yeah, I would just use like traffic trackers. When I was building mine, I had traffic trackers, and then I also had forums that were attached to them. So if anybody wanted to communicate back and forth over what was there, they could go right over to the forums thing. Like for the clan websites, they would, clan members and prospective members could go there, and like they could talk back and forth about what we were going to do in what particular game, or somebody wanted to join, they could fill out an application for our little guild or what have you. And then on Robotech one, I also had feedback forum there, so people could give me feedback about what they thought things should look like and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then I also had an actual application page that was on, that I used the term, I don't remember what I used now, but it was like a job application online that you could fill out as well if you didn't want to fill out on the form for the gaming guild.
Right. Yeah. And most of that is, most of that I think is going to be more plug-in related, kind of above and beyond what's provided with the host, though, isn't it?
Well, my host was my USP. I mean, ISP rather. I got my USP sitting here, and I saw that, and I said the wrong word. But that was all ISP, so it was all me. The host wasn't doing anything except putting it on the internet. I was the one doing all the coding and everything, so there was no like plug-in for the host, because the host, I would just do everything and just upload it all myself.
Okay, gotcha. Now, Tripod out there, he makes a good point. I mean, as you're out there and you're doing things and you grow, he said if you do a lot of e-commerce, you may want to upgrade to an actual e-commerce solution instead of versus WordPress. So, but yeah, I mean, those solutions still plug into WordPress. Or a lot of them do anyway. But yeah, I mean, definitely if you grow to a certain point, I mean, it's like having the proper tools to do the job. So yeah, definitely make sure that, you would hate to be in a situation where you've grown your channel or, you know, your brand and you're selling even hundreds of dollars worth of merchandise a month, you know, and then something crater will go down because it can't handle the load, or God forbid you have a security breach or something like that, right? So, proper tools for the job and grow your website and your host and your software and everything else as you go along. Patriot, as far as features in a with your hosting, did that did that answer the email portion of that for you?
Yes. And okay. The only other thing is I looked into WordPress and, you know, during this whole ordeal that I had. Now, is that open source still, where anybody can kind of modify things?
Yeah.
Where you can pull up, that's why there's so many.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It's pretty doggone open source. I mean, as far as being able to modify the code, particularly on the themes and plugins and stuff like that. Yeah.
And that just means you can search out, and if there's something that you're wanting, there's a good chance that other people have already made it.
Well, that, or you can even do it yourself if you've got a little bit of, you know, do a little bit of homework, kind of like Mike was talking about. He did, you know, did a little bit of research on YouTube or Google or Google Foo or whatever, right? Or especially if you've got a little bit of coding experience and stuff like that. You know, let's say, you know, for example, I keep going back to the used car dealer, but the first template that they wanted to use, because we were online, you know, looking at templates, they weren't going to pay me to build one. And they picked one, and I told them, I said, this is all foreign. I said, I don't know how this is going to work. And, you know, it was cubic centimeters on the engine size, and it was cubic liters and liters per kilometer and, you know, things like that, you know, with these cars. And I was like, crap, you know. So I had to go into the actual code, you know, and change a lot of that stuff around to where it was, you know, American, you know, U.S. whatever measurements or whatever, not foreign. And that was a pain in the butt. I think they ended up spending about as much money and labor trying to do that as they could have just, you know, had me build it from scratch. Certainly, you know, more expensive than them picking an actual one that was laid out in U.S. metrics to start with. So, but yeah, I mean, there's quite a bit of versatility, you know, if you want to dig in and do it. It's not easily done on some stuff. It is definitely not, you know, but, you know, with complex, how do I want to put this? Kind of like Mike has said, and I think Snob, a couple people who hit on, with some of the more, you know, drag and drop, what you see is what you get, you know, WYSIWYG type things that you use to build a website. You don't have the functionality too. If it's, you know, so with complexity, a lot of times comes a lot more versatility, I guess, if that makes sense. Budget, as far as features, is there anything, hosting features, stuff like that, you can think of, maybe you use that we haven't talked about, or ones that are important to you?
No, not really. I mean, I'm still trying to figure this whole thing out. I mean, if you look at my website, you can tell I don't exactly have it licked yet. So no, not yet. There's nothing I can recommend or really talk about with any intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Mike, bring you in here. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
What about some of the features with the hosting service and stuff like that? Were there any particular ones you were thinking of or you thought of since and you're like, wow, I'm glad I can, you know, I've got access to that or I can utilize that?
No, only thing I really did was just try to gear everything I needed for my website. And I wasn't trying to get too fancy. I was just trying to keep things simple, whereas I looked at it as if I was somebody looking for what I want to do. And of course, I use customer service. They probably knew me by first name and phone number as many times as I called. But I did ask a lot of questions, you know, just like I did with Adobe when I was hitting up you and Ghost when I first learned how to do Adobe.
Right. Yeah. And that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. That's something that we haven't hit on, but it's very important, is that when you're out there, you're looking for a hosting service. That's why it's important to go with, you know, those that have a fairly good reputation, and especially if you're able to ask people, like on this show or whatever, is that you get companies that do have that support. That way, if you have a problem, you can get in touch with them. And like I said, I can say company I deal with, Virtual Avenue, it is It is definitely a smaller company, but you know, and sometimes it takes them some time to figure out the problems and stuff like that, like the email issue I had for nearly 2 weeks. But I mean, they answer every time that you call up or you talk to them. So that's always a good thing. Gizzard, what about you? And are you using any special features, or is there anything like that you want to talk about?
Well, not really. I mean, I do have some avenues open to me. For example, Google Sites does provide you with an email domain that you can use. I don't use it. I still use a gizzardgary@gmail.com address. I don't get a lot of mail. You know, I don't sell anything yet. I have played with Spreadshirt a little bit, tried to set up a store, but I'm not real sure yet that I'm ready to make it public, but I have explored that. I've also explored doing the Amazon.com thing like you guys do. But I haven't gotten that far yet. Mostly I'm using the website for a portal for people to get to and direct them to all my different social media sites. But there are a few other external links and stuff like that on there, but I haven't dove into it nearly as much as you guys have.
Right. And that may be, Spreadshirt may be something that might be a good topic for a future show. Let's kind of go through Spreadshirt.
It's complicated.
And how to create the images. That's one aspect you have to tackle with Spreadshirt, because one image, you know, just because you upload an image doesn't mean it's going to look right on this color or that color. So you got to keep that in mind. And I'll get off of that because that's not what this chat's about. Before I go to Ghost Snob in the side chat, you said something about, did I have a chat about Adobe? What Adobe?
No, I like Premiere. I figured that's what you're talking about. I don't know what y'all use, but that was my question.
Photoshop, as far as images, is about the only Adobe I use.
Okay.
And yeah, there's multiple stuff I've got here and there on Photoshop, and then I'm pretty sure GWebs has quite a bit too. But yeah, we can definitely dive into that more. I think I'm pretty sure we did a thing talking about maybe Instagram or something where we were talking about our thumbnails, maybe it was what it was, where we were in, got off into Photoshop pretty heavy.
Yeah. Well, I was just curious about Premiere, because when I started doing videos, I bought Premiere, you know, pay for it every month. So, and that's, yeah, you know, it was kind of a learning curve with it, which I kind of figured some of it out, but not a whole lot yet.
Yeah. With Premiere, I don't have a lot of experience with it. I'm a CyberLink Power DVD guy, have been for many, many years. That said, Premiere is one of the most popular, so there's tons of tutorials and other things out there. So,
oh yeah, I've watched a bunch.
Right. Ghost, bring you in real quick on, you know, features and stuff like that with your hosting.
I basically get 10 email addresses, one main one, then I get 9 sub email addresses that I have access to. Obviously, I use 2 or 3 of them. They all point to one mailbox. So, that helps a lot. Like you said, you can diversify your email contacts. You can give them out to different people in different genres of your business, depending on what part they are. And it all comes to one inbox, which is nice. One of the things that I really think is important as far as branding goes, and it's something that people don't really think about, but I think that a favicon is extremely important for your branding. You know, it's one of those little logos you have in your tab. If you pull up someone's website on the tab of your browser, mm-hmm, sometimes it'll show a logo. Once again, it's just branding. The more time you can get your brand and your logo out there, the best thing you can do. The great thing about network solutions that I have is included in mine costs like $9 a month. So it might be on the higher side than others, but I get a lot of stuff with it. And one of them is a free consultation each month that I can sit down for an hour with my own guy. His name is Brian. And I don't do it every month, but I do it most months. And I have a free hour consultation that we'll go and dive in to my website. And he'll give me, hey, here's some new features that were, you know, you can, and he'll go ahead and put it in for me, or he can show me how to do it. But I do get a free consultation every month with my service. So that's really nice.
Very awesome. And that's a great point. I'm glad you hit on. I wasn't even thinking about the favicon, but Yeah, that's the little icon that shows up if you got the tab open, you know, at the top of the page. WordPress is pretty easy to do that. So,
yes, it is. And then if you don't have WordPress and you're familiar with FTP, you can just kind of go in and upload your icon to a FTP file, and it should pull it up for you anyway. So there's multiple ways to get that on there.
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty easy. So, yeah, okay. Well, we have beat the horse to death, I think, and we've run about an hour and a half here. I think we pretty much covered everything as far as basics from start to finish. But let me just say, if you're out there again, don't be intimidated by any of this. And you know, if you're out there and you're looking for stuff and you need help, I'm at live@clovertac.com. Obviously, the other ones on the panel, I'm sure, are more than welcome to help you out where they can and try to get you started. So let's get this closed up, run it through the room for plugs and anything else you want to give. Snob?
Don't got much. Just have a live show Saturday night, and thanks for giving me an invite, man. Appreciate it. Learned a lot.
You bet. Bet. Rich, what you got?
I've got the Unloaded Media show over on a Unloaded Media channel, ironically enough, every Sunday night at 8 Eastern. Everybody here on the panel is welcome. Just let me know if you want to be on or not. And I got the Instagram, Unloaded Media _Rich White, if anybody wants to check that out. And that's about it for now.
Awesome. Budget.
Well, you can find me on YouTube, GunStreamer, GunTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, pretty much everywhere there's a social media platform, I have a presence there. You can also go to www.budgetgunsandgear.com and find my content there, strangely enough. Tomorrow night is the scheduled time for my weekly live stream, The Right of the People. However, I may not be doing it tomorrow. I may have to postpone till Sunday yet again. I kind of threw my back out before coming to work tonight, and I'm going to go see the doctor in the morning. And if he tells me I'm not going to work, then I'm not going to be doing the live stream as well. So I'll postpone that till Sunday, possibly.
Okay. Good stuff. Yeah, almost gizzarded Patriot there. What you got going on, Patriot?
I just sneak around. I sit in the shadows. So thank you for the invite. I appreciate it. I got a couple videos, but I'm trying to pace myself. Instead of throwing them all out in, you know, 1 or 2 days, I'm going to spread it out like you guys do. Gotcha. And I that's about it. Thanks for the invite. Right. You can find me everywhere. I'm all over.
Yeah, good man. That's the way to be. Mike, what you got?
For those who like to listen to podcasts, look up Black Men with the Gun podcast, where you find me and Ken Blanchard talking about various issues within the 2A community and our insight on what we perceive as helpful information. Visit my website at www.m-wtactical.com or give me a call at 803-250-1256. Leave a voicemail or a text message if you want me to get back with you about my opinion or views or on topics related to the 2A community. If you want me to do a product review, give me a call at the same phone number or email me at info@m-wtactical.com, and I promise I will get back to you. Every Tuesday, we put out a video. So if you're on YouTube, GunTube, or OochTube, you can find me under M-W Tactical. On GunStreamer, you can find me under Munitions Weapons Tactical. And don't forget Facebook and Instagram, where you can find me under M-W Tactical also. And we still have our community campaign going on. So if you want to check that out, go to GoFundMe.com/M-W Tactical. And help us out with that so we can continue to do great things within the 2A community.
Sweet. Giz?
I still have my 357 subscriber giveaway going on. I'm going to be getting to the end of that here pretty soon, but there's still time to check out my latest video and leave a comment if you'd like to enter the contest. Now, we're not giving away any great, you know, expensive goods or anything like that. We're just going to have fun with this, but I just kind of having fun with my subscribers. Oh my, and
there. That's a top-notch revolver you're giving away, man.
What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, it is. Two of them. Two of them, because the 357 subscribers are getting a prize package, and then the winner of the naming contest also gets the same package. So we're trying to spread the wealth around a little bit. But anyway, I'm all over the place. It's easier for me to direct people to my website, kind of what we've been talking about tonight, gizzardgary.com. If you go there, right on the front page is a link to all my different social media accounts. Feel free to check them all out. And thanks to everybody who subscribes to me. And I'd like to real quickly promote gunchannels.com. If you're not a member, get on there and sign up for free. Check out guntube.org and like, share, and subscribe, CloverTac. Thank you for the invite, sir.
You bet. Ghost, what you got?
I got nothing. Thanks for having me. Just want to remind everybody that this weekend, you get a chance to get out to the range, go out and shoot, take someone with you, maybe introduce them to firearms, maybe change their mind. And while you're out there, might be beneficial to turn the camera on. We need all the help we can get. Mm-hmm. And if you need any help with that, then let me know. Contact me any way you want, live at ghosttactical.us, and I'll help you any way I can. But get out there, turn the cameras on, be more proficient with your firearms. Thank you very much for having me on.
You bet. And Kingpin out there had a had another question. Wasn't really related to websites necessarily, unless you're putting images on there, of course. But talking about copyright, he says, any trouble with logos and images being similar to someone else and copyrighted product? You definitely have to be careful of that. I mean, I say that with when you're dealing with copyright, whether it's an image or a or music or video or whatever it might be, right? If you didn't make it, then be careful. There's a lot of similar stuff, but I mean, if I don't know, I mean, I know Gizzard's run into an issue with that before. You know, at the end of the day, if you've created it, you know, I have expected with the Leprechaun thing to have a couple of people potentially come along and say something, but at the end of the day, it was hand drawn. So, you know, and I do have the original drawing for that too. So it's going to be real hard for them to say that I stole their design, because I didn't. Their design was kind of used and I changed a vast majority of it up to make it look the way I wanted. So, that said, something that I will throw out there real quick, as far as images, if you're talking about, stuff for, your thumbnails or things like that in your videos, pexels.com, that's pixels with an E, pexels.com, has a ton of free images over there. So, they're not necessarily the most firearm friendly as far as having pictures or stuff like that. But they've got a lot of pictures over there that you could utilize for a lot of different thumbnails and stuff. So check that out if you're leery about pictures and stuff like that. And again, be careful if you're using stuff that doesn't belong to you, that you didn't create. I want to throw the website out there one more time, clovertac.com, and just remind you of the giveaway. Scroll to the bottom, sign up for the email list, and you can win one of three caps. It's pretty much that simple. Thanks for hanging out, everybody, as long as you have, for those that had requested.
Clover, real quick, can I just add on to the copyright issue, please?
Yeah, go ahead. What's up?
If you do get permission to use somebody's images and whatnot, make sure you do a citation page. That way your butt's covered in case they come back, and make sure you have that you have permission to use it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely keep that. That's a contractual obligation, and I mean, I would not just do it on a handshake.
Right. Make sure you have it in writing. If you're you, and like I said, cite your source on your webpage so people know where you got that from.
Yep, exactly. Or give them credit.
Exactly.
Same difference. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, that is it. Hopefully, if you were out there and you were wanting one whole show on nothing but websites, we have done it over an hour and a half. Here it is. Good luck in replay going through and picking through this. But again, if you're listening to this, if you're out there, if you're doing this, if you need help, don't be afraid to just ask. There's lots of people out there, including those here on the panel, that are more than willing to help. We're going to get out of here. We will see you tomorrow night for Firearm Friday. That's going to be, 10 Eastern time tomorrow night. We've got Medieval Industries in the house. Going to be talking about some of the cool stuff that they're manufacturing over there. So join us for that if you can. We'll see you then. Bye.